everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about luxury options for both motorized and towable RVs. If your budget can stretch a bit, there are some amazing upscale options available. We will discuss three luxury towable lines from Open Range, Winnebago, and Jayco.
Then, Keith and Tia Sims from Soulful RV Family will join us to share their three luxury picks in the world of the Class A motorhome. Listen to hear them explain why you need to check out these models the next time you're in the market for high-end bling.
You might think that you aren't in the market for a luxury RV, but we know that every camper likes to dream a little. You are listening to episode number 73, Living in RV Luxury.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, living in RV luxury, we need to thank our sponsor, RV Trader.
Thanks, RV Trader.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find or sell your RV. To start your search today, visit rvtrader.com. Now it's time for the news roundup, and we're only going to round up two things.
Right.
But they're important things.
They are. They're both important, and we want to be able to spend some time on our second
now,
item.
I'm looking down here in my notes for news roundup, and it says something about Eventbrite. Now, I know, you know, very little about Eventbrite. So why don't you tell everybody what Eventbrite is?
Okay. So I decided that we needed to be a little more structured for our rallies.
And what she means by that is we want to make sure we know everyone that's coming, because we have this fear we're going to show up and people are going to be popping out of the woods saying, hi, we're here for the rally. And we're going to be like, oh, well, we didn't know that. Nice to know it now.
Well, our rally is completely free. Our spring and our fall rallies are completely free.
You got to pay to camp there.
But you have to call. You have to make your own reservations. You pay for your own reservations. But we don't charge you like an event fee or anything. So, but what that has done is it's made it a little difficult for us to track who's coming, because we get email messages, we get Facebook messages, like it's all over the place. So I said, okay, this is, I'm going to go to Eventbrite, which is a very common way for people to sort of sell tickets, quote unquote, to events, but our tickets are free. You get to get a free ticket, but it does help us track exactly who's coming. And we need to do that, because actually, there's a lot of people coming. But the point is that we need to know an amount of people coming, because we plan some events, we plan for our giveaways, we plan all that, we plan our swag. So it really is important for us to have an accurate count.
When we ask some of the companies we work with for free stuff, we want to know how much
many people are coming. So last year at our fall rally, we were a little unsure of the numbers, but now we need to be sure it's gotten big enough.
It's going to be hard to match the swag from the fall rally, because we really got some great swag.
Yeah,
so we
got
to get to work on that.
Well, we'll say, we're getting to work. Right now we're working. I can only work on one product thing at a time. Right now we're gearing up for our spring gear guide.
Right.
Okay. After spring gear guide, I'll switch into swag mode for spring rally.
Now, some people might be listening and saying, what spring rally? Where is it? When is it? Can I come? And the answer is, it's at Lake and Wood in Narvon, Pennsylvania, which is in Lancaster County. It's an awesome, awesome Good Sam Park. Beautiful campground. We really loved it last year. Everyone really wanted to come back. So we're coming back. It's the weekend after Memorial Day. And some people will be coming Thursday night unofficially, which is great if you want to do that, because they're traveling from far away. But most of us will just be there Friday and Saturday nights.
Now, if you go to eventbrite.com, you will not be able to search for this event, because it is a private event. So don't do that. You need to access the link through us. How? Well, you can go to our forum, where I put a post up with the link right to Eventbrite. So if you go to the forum, you go to rally and news topic, and you'll see my post on that. Or if you subscribe to our newsletter, it's in every newsletter. I have a link to it starting last week. I have a link. in every newsletter that will go out between now and the rally. Another reason why it is important for you to subscribe to our newsletter if you want to stay in the loop.
Let me ask this question to you, Stephanie. We know as a fact that not every one of our podcast listeners is subscribed to our newsletter.
Right.
Because just that's how the numbers work. There's just a lot more people listening to the podcast than are subscribed to the newsletter. Why would somebody not subscribe to the newsletter? Does it cost money?
No, but you know why people wouldn't. Because it's the same reason I listen to my podcast while I'm doing things.
That's true.
And I'm not on a computer when I'm listening to a podcast. I'm cleaning, I'm driving, I'm running errands. That's when I listen to podcasts. So what happens is we have these loyal listeners who listen to us every week, but they don't think, let me go online at another time when I'm sitting on the computer and subscribe. But then we always hear from listeners, oh my gosh, I didn't hear about this event, or I didn't know about this because I was behind on listening to you. We try to stay really official about our newsletter for just that reason, so that all the stuff that you need to know about anything new in our world will be in our newsletter. So you can go over to rvfamilytravelatlas.com and sign up for it. And I just think it's the easiest way to see what we're doing.
Okay, great. Now, in other news, we were interviewed for a podcast recently. The podcast is called Keep Your Daydream. It's hosted by Trisha Leach, and it's a great podcast. And we've been listening to it ourselves every week. And it was a big, almost an hour-long interview, was it not?
Yeah.
45 minutes to an hour-long interview. And it really gave the behind-the-scenes here at RV Family Travel Atlas in a way that we haven't even given on our show.
Right.
So I guess the question is, like, why have we not shared all of this background info, and why did we decide to do it on Keep Your Daydream?
Well, first of all, we really do try to stay very RV-centric on our podcast. Like, we want this podcast to be very content rich about the things that people are interested in. And it's one of our going jokes. Like, we don't want this to be the Stephanie and Jeremy show. Like, this isn't just about like us. Like, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Like, we want it to be very applicable to all of our thousands and thousands of listeners. And, you know, we don't want to talk too much about ourselves.
That being said, apparently people are at least kind of interested in what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Right.
So what was the big news that we sort of dished out on Keep Your Daydream?
Yeah. So RVFTA went through a major transition this year, starting in September. And we did let the cat out of the bag on Keep Your Daydream that I am currently full-time employed by RV Family Travel Atlas.
Yeah, so Stephanie is no longer teaching full-time, and it just got to the point where we were doing so much work and so much freelance writing and getting so much work in the RV industry that we were turning down work last spring, and we just realized, let's make a go of it. And Stephanie quit her job, and she's running RVFTA. I'm still teaching every day. Stephanie is more organized and efficient than I am, so she was the obvious choice for this. And it's really gone. It's gone really well. So I mean, it's been September, October, November, December of you running this full time as a business, and it's working.
We got to a point where we were working every single day during the day at our respective teaching jobs. And then we were coming home and working every single night. I would say last like April, May, June.
Until midnight every single night.
We had gotten to the point where we were obviously accepting new offers for work because that's what we wanted to do. So we kept accepting new offers for work and we had work every night.
And the boys were saying, Mom, Dad, we're sick of you locking us up in the closet for hours at a time while you write these articles. And we decided, we have to be parents too as well, which kind of occupies a whole lot of our time.
Yeah.
So far, so good. It was a leap of faith. I think we said on Keep Your Daydream that we're still midair on that leap, but it feels pretty good.
Well, we were able to do all of the things that we didn't have time for before. Like, we wanted to launch a couple of different podcasts, which obviously I've been able to do through the fall. There's no way we could have added podcasts on. We also got the forum up and running, which was a really important thing for us because we want our listeners to have a place to gather together and chat in a nice way about RV topics.
And the forum has been great. And we said no cranks allowed, and no cranks have come on there.
I haven't seen one.
So please sign up for the forum. Get on the forum. Don't just be a lurker. Yeah. If you have a question, ask. Somebody came on the other day and left all these, like, said all these nice things. And they said, oh, I have so many questions I want to ask. And I responded. I just said, go for it. Yeah. Start asking your questions. There's a lot of smart people on the forum, a lot of knowledgeable RV people on the forum in a lot of different areas mm-hmm. of the country, and people that are not knowledgeable about different aspects of RVing even than we are. So if you have a question, sign up on the forum and ask that question, and you're going to get some good responses.
Yeah. And then also the other component, and this is something that pops up on social media a little bit with people asking sort of about our like personal experience, was you work at an independent school. You do not work in the public school system. So your vacation schedule is remarkably different.
Quite different.
Than mine. In fact,
it was when you were teaching.
Right. So I would have my breaks at different times than you had your breaks. And sometimes there was a little bit of overlap, but really most of the time there wasn't. So we were getting to a point where it was difficult for us to take some of the trips that we wanted to take.
Well, this year we literally looked at the calendar of your teaching job and my teaching job and realized we were not going to be able to take anything but a weekend trip.
Yeah.
For the whole school year.
Right.
And honestly, for me, that was a very decisive factor because mm-hmm. we want to be able to travel in the fall, in the winter, in the spring, and, yeah. and be in the RV as much as
yeah.
possible.
So all the other content that we've been able to do, and then also we've just been able to travel more. And that's why we shared that on Keep Your Daydream. Is I love that about the podcast, is it's such an eclectic group of people that Trisha is interviewing about how they make their lives look like they want their lives to look like. And it's not all one size fits all. She's not interviewing all people that are on the road full
time.
She
does people that are doing sailing, people that are yeah. doing RVing, people that are living abroad as expats. I mean, it is a nice variety. And she's a really nice host.
It's very inspirational. And we wanted to share our story of how we keep it real around here. That's really important. But also we had transitioned in private because that's important too, right? For families to like make transitions and kind of like figure things out in private. So we were doing that. And I was so happy to be able to share that with Trisha, because I hope people listen and they think, you know what, my life has limitations on it. Of course, all of our lives do. But at the same time, I can make choices about the way it looks. And, you know, hopefully that inspires some people who are out there wondering how they can make their life better for them. Right?
Yeah. So thank you, Trisha, so much. And all of our listeners, hey, go over there yeah. and subscribe to Keep Your Daydream and take a listen. It's a really great show. We will be back in a second with episode 73 of RV Family Travel Atlas, Living in RV Luxury. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about the perfect RV for you and your family, RV Trader has a ton of resources to help you make the right decision.
With thousands of RVs for sale across the country, finding what you want is easy.
Helpful icons on the homepage will show you the difference between motorhomes, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers. And once you pick the type you're looking for, you can narrow your search by make, model, state, and even price.
Also, if you're looking to upgrade or sell your current RV, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Millions of local buyers shop every month and will contact you directly if interested in purchasing your unit.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find and sell your RV. To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Are you ready for our feature topic, living in RV luxury?
See, now you're doing what Trisha does on Keep Your Daydream, and I'm going to go, yes, I am. You like that.
You know, it's interesting. We don't see ourselves purchasing a luxury RV at any point. Maybe. I mean, maybe when we retire, but I don't know. But I'm certainly interested in them. You know, I am fascinated by what the industry is building in the luxury department. But no desire to purchase one personally at the moment. But we know a lot of our listeners are interested yeah. in higher-end choices. So at the Florida RV Super Show, we started to kind of see some higher-end travel trailer and fifth wheel options. And simultaneously, Keith and Tia Sims from soulfulrvfamily.com were shopping and looking around at some luxurious Class A options. So we thought, why not do some luxury options, put it together, make a show of it? Why not?
Why not? We can do that.
We can do that.
We can spot luxury when we see it.
And we haven't done a luxury episode.
No, we haven't. So, you know, like you said, I can look at it and I can appreciate it. And I can certainly appreciate why someone might want it. We are in the season of our life where, in fact, we like to keep things as bare minimum as possible for our comfort. You know, we like to find that sweet spot where we have enough to stay comfortable, but not enough to be fancy.
Right.
So this was fun. This was a little bit of like us stepping outside of ourselves and saying, okay, if we were, you know, really in the market for this beautiful.
What would we want?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love these options. So Stephanie and I are going to go through some towable options and then we'll break and we'll come back with Keith and Tia with some Class A options. So we're going to look at three different lines of luxurious towables. The first one we're going to look at is the Open Range Roamers. It's a series of travel trailers. They also have fifth wheels that are called roamers. We're focused on the travel trailers. These were really impressive. And I think that Open Range deserves some credit for breaking some new ground in the travel trailer segment, because I remember looking at Open Ranges 5 to 6 years ago that were luxurious and spacious and very creative in the floor plans.
Now, what is the range of size for this line, just so our listeners know what we're talking about here?
So for the Open Range Roamer travel trailers, the shortest one is 33 feet 6 inches. The longest one is 37 feet 3 inches. The dry weight on the lightest, the unloaded vehicle weight, or the dry weight, means no water in it, no clothes in it, nothing else in it. The lightest one, it's not really that light,
yeah.
7,700 pounds approximately. And then the heaviest one, 9,300 pounds. These are large travel trailers.
It's luxury. Yeah, they're
but
not
they're
small.
Literally larger. Mm-hmm. They are taller than your average travel trailer. They
wider.
Are wider.
Mm-hmm.
And the slide outs are significantly deeper. Instead of your traditional 36-inch slide out, they're 42-inch slide outs. And then these travel trailers, they have slide outs on both sides. They have slide outs in the master bedrooms. And some of them even have an additional fourth slide out. So they are incredibly spacious inside.
And that really goes to the point, or speaks to the point, that luxury is a feeling as much as it is any one item or textile or appliance. So one of the reasons why these travel trailers feel more luxurious is because of the space inside of them. So when you walk in, the ceiling height affects your experience in that travel trailer. You feel it's open, it's airy. And I really think that that affects somebody's like experience in it.
I think so, because it feels luxurious and how you can sort of stretch out in it.
You can move and stretch and be comfortable.
Yeah, so if you're a family that wants a travel trailer with a lot of space to stretch out and a lot of comfortable areas for seating and sleeping, these are a great option. The lowest priced one starts at about $37,000. That's the MSRP. That's not the street price. So you're definitely, you know, a solid $10,000.
Do you buy RVs on the street?
The street Everyone knows price. What street price means. Yeah, actually, when you buy an RV, it often is on the street or in a parking lot.
You're like riding up to somebody on a corner and buying an RV.
We should start a new podcast about like street prices.
Yeah, street prices. Darby.
Everyone knows what I mean, and you're making fun of
it. It was funny. Okay, go ahead.
Now, I think these are also very attractive. They're a little, they have the swooshes and swirls on the outside, but definitely a little bit subtler. And it's not just the traditional white box. They are more, would you say,
they're
more gray
so
in an attractive
way. They have
way.
More of the gray tones to them, which keeps them looking a little more sleeker and a little more toned down. However, I do have to mention that they have the animal, which some people
it's
are.
It's a horse. You don't have to. It's not like an animal.
I'm using that as a category, right?
The Open Range
some
logo
RVs
is a horse. I like it.
Have the animal.
I like it better than a lot of your other animals that get chosen
some
to be.
People are against animals.
By the way, I have to shout out to the Fit RV, who we had on this podcast a while ago. James did a segment on YouTube where he made fun of all the animal names of RVs.
It was angry names of all the animals.
And he kind of did some impersonations. Very funny video. And I just thought of it right now.
The Viper.
Check that out. And if Stephanie remembers, we'll put that in the show notes. Other things that I think are attractive about the Open Range Roamers, they have a nice front nose cap. And I really like the look of the nose caps on travel trailers. They have, not every single floor plan, most of them have full outdoor kitchens. Now, at the Florida RV Super Show, we went into the Open Range RT310 BHS, the bunkhouse, which we really, really liked. A gorgeous outdoor kitchen. What did you like about this outdoor kitchen?
Well, many outdoor kitchens are, I love an outdoor kitchen, but many are like simplified versions of the kitchen. This is a full on kitchen. And when I say full on, I mean a large refrigerator, not residential sized, but bigger than the little mini fridge.
It's like a kitchen in a lot of smaller travel trailers.
So it has that. It had a microwave. It had sink. It had pull out.
What about the
pantry?
Real countertops?
I think it was Corian because inside it's Corian countertops. I think the outside kitchen had
either
a Corian
way, it was not
countertop
particle
as well.
Board. It was like a hard surface.
Yes. Yeah. Not particle board, which can really be affected by the elements.
By the outdoor, yes.
And by you cooking. You're steaming things, you're boiling. So I hate that.
That's a great thing to point out. If you're looking at a travel trailer with an outdoor kitchen and it's like a particle board setup because of the cooking and because it's outside, that's going to delaminate a lot faster than you might think.
Yeah. The cabinets were full-on sized cabinets with hinged solid wood. Like, you could pick this kitchen up and put it into the inside of the travel trailer and you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
A pantry, a little slide-out pantry. So it really was a fully functioning kitchen. I would love that. I have to say, I would
love
an upgraded outdoor kitchen.
I think a lot of RV families really do are attracted to the outdoor kitchen in a travel trailer. Look at the Open Ranges, man. This was one of the nicest ones we've seen. The interior kitchens, I think on every single floor plan, they have kitchen islands, lots of storage, Corian countertops, larger refrigerators than a traditional travel trailer, and skylights. So the interior kitchens are also really nice.
I liked also the cover over the sink, okay? On the island, there was the sink in the middle with a nice, decent bit of counter space. The counter was Corian, and the cover that they put over the sink was the same Corian. So it created this really nice look of the entirely smooth countertop, and I feel like that oftentimes is not the case. The cover is different, so I like that.
Now, also, I want to just back up to something I forgot to mention. There are slides on both sides of all of these floor plans, which is awesome, but not awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome because you get massive interior space, but then a lot of shoppers don't like losing the awning space on the outside. So on these Open Range floor plans with the incredible space inside, just be aware that you're going to lose some awning space on some of the floor plans. And in some cases, it's substantial.
And you're going to have to worry about, obviously, your campsite size, you know, with your slides, your deeper slides going out in both directions.
A really narrow campsite, yeah. You would have to worry about that. Flat screen TVs, that's all of the travel trailers these days. I like that they put in a soundbar. A stereo soundbar above the flat screen TV. I thought that was a really nice, really nice feature.
Yeah, you're a big speaker guy. So
I'm a speaker
you
guy.
You do not like that. You want to upgrade our speakers on our travel trailer.
Look, most people that own travel trailers know the master bedrooms are usually very tight and crowded. Because this is taller and wider, and because the bedrooms have slide outs, which is very unusual in the travel trailer segment for a bedroom to have master bedroom to have a slide out, you get a much nicer master bedroom in these Open Ranges.
Yeah, the bed, the master bed, is on the slide so that when the slide goes out, the bed goes out too, okay? And then the back has the big wardrobe. So that's almost like a fifth wheel feature, that back wardrobe, big, huge wardrobe, because it's on the back wall, not on the sides. In a lot of travel trailer, your wardrobe space is on the side of the bed.
I'm glad you mentioned fifth wheel, because my big takeaway from this is like you're getting a fifth wheel, but it's not a fifth wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want the bed of your pickup, or you just don't want the extra weight of a fifth wheel or the extra size, this really feels luxurious and comfortable like a fifth wheel, but it's in a travel trailer floor plan. Now, moving on, Winnebago has a new line of luxury travel trailers. It's really just come out, and they're called Winnebago Instinct. They have three floor plans, We saw their bunkhouse at the Florida RV Super Show. These start at $41,000 MSRP-wise, and we thought these were really nice luxury travel trailers, a new segment for Winnebago to enter into. What did you like about the Winnebago Instinct?
They're trying to, again, we're going to say this for both of these lines of travel trailers. They are trying to mimic a fifth wheel floor plan and feeling within a travel trailer shell. So when you walk in, you see the fireplace.
The electric fireplace was, I never thought I would like an electric fireplace as a feature. I really do.
The more we see them, the more you get
attached.
And
guess what? You know what? The full-time RVers bring this up a lot. You get heat without using your propane.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about budget and you're traveling a lot, you can get some nice heat in your RV included in the price mm-hmm. you're paying for the campsite, as opposed to having to use your propane.
Right. So it had like a nice stone surface, you know, over the fireplace. They were trying to mimic those more luxury features that you get in the fifth wheel options, like the tile backsplash, the nice the stone countertops. Right? These are not lightweight, right? How heavy are these?
That's a good point. So weight wise, and again, this is dry weight. The lightest one is 6,500 pounds. The heaviest one is 8,500 pounds. And the links, they have one that's about 30 feet, one that's 37 feet, and one that's 37 feet 6 inches. So they have a little bit of a range there, but no, these are not lightweight travel trailers.
And that's because there's going to be features like this. Another feature that pops up in a lot of these higher-end fifth wheels and now these luxury travel trailers is the full-on sideboard, butler sideboard. So when you walk in, there is like a pantry sideboard like I have in my home kitchen right there in the travel trailer. This has glass doors. Okay, you can open it, you can store things in there, but it also has additional counter space for your coffee maker, your key bowl. Like, it just feels like apartment living.
And all of these floor plans have the kitchen island. Now, listening to you talk about these, it seems like with the luxury travel trailers, one of the primary differences between a luxury travel trailer and a more standard travel trailer is the kitchen. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
A larger, more spacious kitchen, often the kitchen island, more storage, more counter space.
Yeah, and the features that are in the kitchen make it feel like a residential kitchen as opposed to an RV kitchen. There is a definitive difference.
Look, now, and it's the look of it is more residential, and also the practicality of mm-hmm. it is more residential.
Yeah, I could cook a full-on Thanksgiving meal in these kitchens, no problem. Maybe a little problem. But now another one, you said the kitchen, but it's also the bathroom.
That's true.
Because the bathrooms in these are going to have full-size stalls with shower doors. You're not going to see curtains.
Right.
You're not going to see accordion closures.
So more, again, more fifth wheel-like features in the bathroom and kitchen.
And entry from the master and from the main
in
living area.
In some of the floor plans, that's true.
In some of them. You see that in some regular travel trailers too, but that is something that is an upscale feature.
In the Winnebago Instinct, you're also going to get a black tank flush, which you can get on a standard travel trailer, but not every one. A Bluetooth audio system. Stephanie mentioned the electric fireplace. One thing that we really liked, enclosed and heated underbelly mm-hmm. for all season or close to all season camping. So these are definitely more built to be used when it's cold out.
And I just think we're going to see more and more and more of that in the industry. I think it's becoming more important for families that are RVing to want to get out year round, no matter where they live in the country.
30 to 40 years ago, everyone bought pop-up campers. A lot of people bought pop-up campers. Not so good for winter camping. Not so good for late fall camping. Now people have travel trailers. They're spending more money on them. Mm-hmm. They're heated. The heat works nicely. Why not camp later into the season? We here at RVFTA believe campgrounds are going to be staying open later into the season, and people are going to be camping up to Christmas and after Christmas. Let's move to fifth wheels. Let's talk about Jayco's new luxury fifth wheel segment. So they've reorganized their whole line of fifth wheels, and they have a whole new segment of luxury fifth wheels. And there's three different models here. You have the North Point, the Pinnacle, and the Designer. And these are all called Jayco Luxury Fifth Wheels. So we went into a bunch of these at the Florida RV Super Show, and we're so impressed by how livable they were. And you kept saying over and over again, these are like apartments. These are like homes.
Yeah, oh, sure. There is no difference for me as a person. Now, I get it. There's some people that cannot even stand the idea of like not having 2,000 square feet of a home. I can. Like, I don't mind smaller living spaces. These fifth wheels, I feel like, are designed for someone to feel like they have an apartment on the road. And it's a vacation home.
Yeah, if you're going RVing for a couple weekends each season, you're not going to look at a Jayco luxury fifth wheel. No. If you are going full time, if you are retiring and planning on traveling half the season, or if you just have a lifestyle that allows you to travel a lot, or if you're a seasonal who's parking it in one spot for 3 to 4 months, these are a tremendous option. Now, the lowest price point on the North Point, I believe, was like $73,000, and then they go up from there, right? So you can go well into the six figures once you get to the designers.
Right.
So many luxurious features. And as you step up from North Point to Pinnacle to designer, you're just going to add more and more features. Let's talk
and
about
bathrooms.
And bathrooms.
One and a half, right?
and let's talk about some of the features you're going to see in a Jayco luxury fifth wheel. You're going to see a 6-point auto leveling system. You're going to have a backup camera set up. You're going to have indoor and outdoor vacuum system.
Yeah, nice.
The furniture is all American made by a company named Franklin. It feels like living room furniture.
But it is. That company makes furniture for people's homes. It's not like an RV supplier.
It's not RV furniture.
Yeah.
And the thing that struck me the most about the Jayco luxury fifth wheels was how comfortable the seating was. Mm-hmm. And you really just do picture yourself kicking back, watching a football game, the electric fireplace
in the kitchen. Farm sink, okay, double farm sink.
Huge sink.
Yeah.
Very deep.
The induction cooktop, a full-sized refrigerator, okay? So this is a fully functioning kitchen, huge amount of storage space.
We like that they're prepped for solar. We love the new remote control systems that basically control everything in the coach.
Yeah, like that's a feature of these more upscale RVs is you get a tablet basically that comes along with your RV and you can control all the systems,
the stability jacks, all the systems. The Jayco luxury fifth wheels have the hidden bedroom TVs in some of the floor plans. You love hidden bedroom TVs. Why?
Because I don't want to stare at a TV. We are a minimal TV watching family at home, much less on the road. And we are one of those families. We have one TV in our house. There's no TV in the bedrooms. There's no, like, we just decide on a show and we watch it together.
Or the boys decide on a show and they boot us out of the living room.
So it's too weird for me when I go camping, quote unquote, right? And I get in the RV. It's too weird. The idea of having more TVs when I'm traveling is bizarre.
So you love that you can tuck them away.
We don't even have cable at our house. Like, we don't hook up at the campground.
Look, if you're stepping into a Jayco luxury fifth wheel, you're going to have a lot of TVs. Yeah. You're going to have a whole bunch of them.
I like it when you can hide them. I love that about the Winnebago Brave. I raved about it on the Brave. Love hiding
TVs. In each of these lines, in the North Point, the Pinnacle, and Designer, there's 6 or 7 or 8 different floor plans. We loved the ones with the front living room, where on the traditional fifth wheel, you walk up into the bedroom. On these, you walk up into the living room and then the bedrooms in the rear. I thought those were such cozy, comfortable rooms.
Yeah, they are. I mean, for two people.
No, there's a couch on each side. Oh my gosh, you could have 8 people sitting there watching the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying for sleeping. This is not
a floor plan you're going to get if you have a bunch of kids necessarily. This is a floor plan for the couple that wants a home on wheels. And, you know, when I think about RVing, I don't think about relaxing and watching television. But when I go into a Jayco designer and I sit in that front living room, I'm like, man, I would love to kick back and watch a basketball game up here.
You immediately think of like Super Bowl party. You're like, oh, this is a big TV, fireplace,
but you could entertain people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you imagine having people over in this RV, which is bizarre. You know, that's not what you normally picture.
I think that seasonals or a retiree might be a lot more interested in having their friends over.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's explore that seasonal angle for a second, because I think that these are targeted towards seasonals to some degree. If you're camping at the same campground every summer as a seasonal, you do have your neighborhood of friends. And I think it would be more likely like, hey, you want to come over and watch the baseball game tonight?
Oh, this is a perfect model like for to that. Have cocktail hour in yeah. this fifth wheel would be incredibly fun. I don't want to repeat myself, but I'm like, this is apartment living. This is like having an apartment in the city that you're going to.
The designers have crown molding in them.
Oh, right? Etched glass, absolutely. Like everything is really beautifully done with the wood and the glass and the finishes. The textiles are upscale.
Yeah.
So it is like having a great apartment. And if you park it on a lake somewhere, hey, you have a lake house.
It really is.
The end.
Yeah. So look, if you're someone who's going to be spending a lot of time in the RV, somebody who's retiring soon and has worked hard for some luxury, somebody who's got a great seasonal spot, check out the Jayco luxury line of fifth wheels. All right. We'll be back in a second. We're going to come back with Keith and Tia Sims from SoulfulRVFamily.com. They're going to give us three great luxury class A picks. And boy, oh boy, do they know their stuff when it comes to class A luxury. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Keith and Tia Sims of SoulfulRVFamily.com, and they are here to give us their three top Class A picks from the Florida RV Super Show. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Keith. Hi, Tia.
We are always always excited to have Keith and Tia here on the show. And when we knew we wanted to do a show on some higher-end picks and feature some Class A's, you were the obvious go-to correspondents on this.
Well, we appreciate that. We do love our Class A's.
Yeah, you took your assignment very seriously. I mean, we said go, and you guys took off running through that RV show finding your picks, right?
Absolutely.
It
shopping
was
for
our
Class A's.
Pleasure.
Did you have a hard time narrowing it down to three? I was a little concerned about that.
You know, the hard part is the Tampa Super Show. There's such a variety and things that you may not even thought of, you walk into and say, wow, or surprise. So, yeah, after really kind of pouring through all the RVs we went through, we tried to pick some different classes, a little gas, a little diesel, different price points to give people some variety there.
All right, awesome. So let's go here. Your first Class A pick is the Tiffin Allegro 35QBA. So what was the price point on this?
Well, the MSRP, and we all know not to worry about that, was about $175,000. The show price at the Tampa show was only, and I say that briefly, $143,900. So
they were practically giving it away.
Almost. It was like Crazy Eddie's, if you remember that electronic store.
I remember Crazy Eddie's. So let me tell you. So what did you guys like about this Tiffin?
Well, first of all, it's a gas model, which typically, as you get into Class A's, if you're going to go in gas, you get more bang for your buck because you're going to step up in price for that diesel engine. It had all the amenities. It had a backup camera, navigation. It had bunks, and we tried to find all bunk bed models. I actually was able to climb into the bunks and lay down. Now, I'm 6'3". I wouldn't want to sleep in every night, but it tells you how roomy that particular bunk is. Tiffin is an outstanding brand in the Class A model. They have their 5-star warranty, which is 1 year free roadside assistance. It comes with 1 year full comprehensive warranty and then 5 and 10 year warranties on top of that. And they really patent themselves on that. It had a queen bed. It had a booth dinette that converted to a bed. It had a sofa bed, sleeper bed. So you could easily have three distinct areas to sleep four different people on top of the queen bed. So for a family with three or four kids, everyone had their own bed, and mom and dad had their own master suite in the back. And it was a queen bed. I'm partial to a king, but not everybody needs that space. And the only negative I could see to that really was it had one bathroom, where again, when you have multiple kids, you think about a bathroom and a half. But it had, like I said, all the amenities. It had a generator built in, automatic leveling jacks, stainless steel appliances. It had a residential refrigerator, which Of course, when you step up to Class A, it's a nice perk to have on top of that. It did have propane in the coach, and that was only to heat the water heater and the propane oven. But you had an option if you wanted to pay for it. The model at the Tampa Super Show had the induction cooktop. So at that point, your propane would only been used for heat and for cooking. So I think it's a really, really solid model for a family with more than two kids, or even if you only had two kids, because the bunk bed, and this is one of those neat things they do with bunk beds, converts to a wardrobe if you're not using the bunk. So if you didn't want your kids to use a bunk, if you only had two kids, they could use the booth dinette, and they could use the couch, pull out couch, and you could have that as wardrobe space. It was pretty spacious and well appointed. So I thought that was a really, really solid model for the what I would consider the entry Class A level.
Now, where were the bunks located in the floor plan?
That's a good question. Across the bathroom, where the bathroom is, near the master bedroom, but there's a solid door that you slide over to separate the bunks from the master suite, which is a must for me.
So no curtains or accordion doors in a Tiffin.
I don't think you're going to be finding curtains or accordion doors at this particular price point. And I'm not being snide, I'm just saying that you would expect a solid door, and you certainly get it in Tiffin delivery with that.
Now, you guys didn't feel like you were slumming it in this gas model, in other words. It sounds like this was a really nice, solid choice.
Well, it depends on, again, what you're looking for. I'm a diesel kind of guy. And a lot of guys, you know, you have that horsepower, that So if you want that, then we've got options for you with diesel. But if that doesn't matter and you want more of the amenities at a lesser price, you don't mind the gas, then this is definitely a good pick.
All right,
excellent. Tia, what did you think about this model?
I thought it was a great model. I love the bunks, and you know that's what I'm looking for at this point in time. But it was a nice, solid model. I agree with Keith.
Did it have a dishwasher?
This one did not have a dishwasher. I believe it's a possible option for it, but the model we saw at the show did not have one.
All right.
And did you like the exterior paint job? Did that strike you as something that was really nice as well?
If you like a lot of swishes and swirls, I mean, that's just the Class A level. You have all those kind of things. But it was striking. It was nothing out of the ordinary, nothing that you say, ooh, it didn't turn me away, but it wasn't something that you were drawn to it and said, oh, my goodness, that coach looks magnificent.
All right, great. So your second pick is the Cross Country Sports Coach 404 RB.
This was one of those coaches that I walked in and it was just full of surprises. This is a 40-foot coach. Now you're stepping up from gas to diesel. 304 horsepower diesel, 6-speed Cummins transmission. It's a Freightliner chassis. Automatic levers, 4 TVs. You had a TV that came up from behind the couch, external TV, and then and above the driver's seat, and then in the master bedroom. It had a booth dinette that turns into a sleeper. It had the hide-a-bed couch that turned into a sleeper. And then probably the biggest surprise I've ever experienced walking into an RV, what they call the salon bunk. And what this is, it is an 11-foot-long bunk bed that comes down from the ceiling over the booth dinette and the couch and drops down at the touch of a button. We were amazed when we saw it.
How do you think your kids would like that bunk? I know they weren't there, but what would your guess be on whether they would like that type of a bunk? Because it's one long bunk, right?
It is, and you would sleep two kids head to head on that, or foot to foot, I guess.
My only fear is that they would want to climb in that bunk and not want us to retract it back up to the ceiling. We'd have to drive with this thing hanging from the ceiling.
Gotcha.
But this is a really creative, it sounds like a creative solution to not having the bunk that comes down over the driving area, right? Like the cab area. So this just kind of takes that idea and it moves it somewhere else in the coach.
Right, right. And if you're a mom like me who could potentially feel like having that bunk sitting there would be an eyesore, having that option to bring it up and out of eyesight is a good option.
I think you guys showed me a picture of this, and when it was up, you can't even tell it's there.
No, and the only negative to having this mug, and I personally love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. I thought it was ingenious what they did, and for it to be able to hold 500 pounds, I think that's phenomenal, is you lose that entire wall, because it's a full wall slide here you're talking about. You would lose a full wall of cabinets there. So it's something you definitely have to consider. You're giving up something to get something. But like Tia said, I love that bunk coming out, and I think it'd be great. I mean, sleeping four independent spots for kids to sleep, where I could see the fort, them jumping from bunk to bed to booth dining. I mean, you'd have to control that, but I think they would have a grand old time in there.
Now, this might sound nitpicky, but can you keep the bunk made up and raise it to the top? You know, could you keep the sheets and blankets on it and bring it up? Or do you think you have to unmake it every day?
No, I think you have to have a limited amount of linens on it. Like I couldn't see having a big bulky comforter up there or a sleeping bag, but you can definitely keep the bed made.
All right, because that makes a big difference. You know how I feel about making and unmaking
beds. Absolutely. I agree. No, I agree with you. Yeah.
What was the price point on this one, guys?
Okay, that's a great question. Again, we're back to the MSRP, and this is where it's just so funny. Listed on a sticker was $275,000. That was a mouthful there. The show price at Tampa was $199.
Again, they're giving these things away, practically.
Really are. And again, this is a 42-foot coach, king bed, bathroom and a half. You pick up your half bathroom, stainless steel, refrigerator and appliances. You had an induction cooktop. So you felt like when you walked into this place, it was feeling like a luxury RV at a pretty reasonable, for the word luxury in Class A, price point. And like I said, I'm smitten with that salon bunk bed.
Now, Tia, do you have an opinion about the induction cooktop? I know that a lot of people are divided on this.
Well, with me, I love the induction cooktop. Our first rig did have the propane cooktop, and it was okay, but I have small kids. And while I was cooking one day, one of my little ones reached up, you know, pretty close to that fire. So that's why I'm not really partial to the propane cooking. I like the induction because even after I take that hot pot off of the induction cooktop, they can put their hands right on there and they're not going to get burned.
Did it take you a little while to figure out the induction cooking? Do you feel like it was an adjustment for you?
There's a bit of a learning curve to that. Yeah, I have to agree. But it's not as bad as I thought it might have been.
What about exterior paint job? Any other little style features that kind of were memorable to you?
Well, just the outdoor entertainment center. It had, I think, a 40-inch TV on the outside with speakers. It had the nice awning that came out. It did have room in the basement for the external refrigerator freezer that you can put in there. It was an option, or you can put it in an aftermarket. We have one in our coach. And for a family that's traveling, especially when you're on the road for a long period of time, you know, 2 weeks or more at a time, that is a wonderful thing to have space for and have in your coach. And you can either have it as a refrigerator or a freezer. So, I mean, I was very, very impressed with this coach. I did not get a chance to test drive it, but from the looks of it, you could be styling this. You could feel really confident about this. It's a well-built coach.
All right. That's excellent. Thank you. So pick three, the Newmar Vantana 4316. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
So talk to us about this Newmar. First of all, give us the price point.
Okay. Now this one.
But you might need to sit down for this.
I am sitting.
The MSRP on this one is $353,000. Now, Newmar is one of those companies that just didn't display the show prices at the Super Show. So, honey, do you want to take a guess on what that might run you?
I had a chance to talk to a couple of the sales managers who were trying to sell us this model, and they didn't know we already had one. And I talked to them about bottom line. I know we're at the show. You want to get rid of these. And he said it depended on how good of a negotiator you were going to be, but we could probably be in that 260 range. So, I mean, that's typical.
Not bad.
Which isn't, you know, the grand scheme of things, for a Newmar.
It is a Newmar. I mean, honestly, that does not sound crazy for a Newmar diesel to me at all. I mean, yes, you're moving into luxury pricing, but I mean, you could certainly go way higher in other models on that price point.
But what you get when you step into this model, I'm going to let my wife, because I just
Come
get
on.
Goosebumps.
Okay, about. This is a 43-foot, 400-horsepower diesel engine. Knock your socks off. This has a tag axle and the comfort drive. I don't know if you know what comfort drive is, but ladies, if you're intimidated about driving a big coach, a larger coach, a big rig, this one will take all your fears away. It's like butter.
So is it the smoothness of the ride as opposed to like a really noisy, shaky ride? Is that what the difference maker is?
I think the best way to describe comfort drive is this. If you've ever driven a car without power steering and then you went to a car with power steering, that is the difference, but it's even magnified by 10. What Comfort Drive does, it's a computer system and it's patented. There's only two brands of RVs in the entire world that have it, Newmar and Newell. So you can understand the price point on this. When you turn an RV with comfort steer and you let go of the wheel, it brings it back to neutral. So it brings the wheel straight. So when you're navigating these larger coaches, it's so much easier. And anybody who's driven a coach knows that road rage that you're fighting left and right as a coach wanders. Comfort steer stops that wandering. It brings it back. It brings it back. So you can literally, and we do, you can drive with one hand on the steering wheel and head down the road. And we drove back from Tampa and Tia was driving and she can tell you what she experienced.
Yes, it was very windy on the way back. But I've gotten tons and tons of compliments on my driving.
Yes, you have. This.
Tia, I just have to interrupt and say, okay, so you driving the RV, it's kind of like when you see a guy out with a baby by himself, right? Like, when I'm out with a baby, nobody congratulates me on it. But my husband took the twins out. Oh, my gosh. He'd have people fawning over him, right? Oh, how amazing you are. Well, you driving the rig, how amazing are you, right?
And I will take every last compliment, just like my husband did when he took out the three boys at one time.
Exactly.
I'm patting myself on the back for that, too.
But really, this is a great model. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Newmar, but this bunkhouse model sleeps a family of eight comfortably. It's an all-electric coach, so you don't have to worry about your propane tanks and filling that up. It's got washer and dryer, awesome counter space in this rig, and a residential refrigerator, which I think is the end-all be-all. There's also a full bathroom. I wish it did have a 1.5 bath, but it makes up for it with the king-size bed, which my husband seems to prefer. And also that shower stall, amazing, right?
Yeah, I can fit in the shower. And I got in every shower stall. So just so you know, they're comfortable. I could fit into each of one. It would be hard for me to recommend, particularly a Class A, that I couldn't shower in myself.
So you're one of those guys at an RV show that really does hop into every shower.
I hop in the shower, and I also sit on the toilet, too.
Oh, I sit on the toilet.
And I saw it coming.
I sit on the toilet.
I told on myself, but you have to, because the worst thing you want to do is buy something and get in there and not be able to be comfortable or use it, especially, you know, if you're going to take a magazine in there and get comfortable.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I'm going to change the topic.
I'm imagining my editing.
Oh, my gosh.
You're leaving this in. Let me ask you this. Are you losing that half bath because of the bunks? I mean, I know that's not necessarily a simple question, maybe more of a question for a designer. But is that part of the exchange you're making when you get bunks in a model like this, is that you're not going to get the bath and a half?
I believe so, and we've stepped in probably three or four of the bunkhouse models in Newmar, and typically, yeah, you are going to lose that half bath with the exception of a few models, and we can't get into that right now. But
because they weren't on your pick list.
Right.
Or in our price list either.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the manufacturer, because remember the Coachman, who we did before this, did have the bath and a half, and had the salon bunk. So it depends how creative they get with their floor plan.
But right, you said it just right. It was a creative floor plan. It didn't have that dedicated bunk space, so.
What other features really jump out at you in this Newmar? What else? If someone's really thinking about making the jump up to a Newmar, what else do they need to know about?
Basically, I mean, really, in my opinion, that comfort drive says it all. That is the make or break with everything for me.
Well, now, Tia, you tow, right, while you're driving this too?
Absolutely.
Just for everybody's information. So you're talking about being comfortable driving that with a car that you're towing behind.
You're absolutely right. And we're about to tow an even bigger SUV. We just got the next one fitted to be towed. So.
And that's a Suburban, right? Might as well say it. I mean, you're going to be towing something pretty big.
That's right.
Stepping up from the Jeep to Suburban. And I understand everyone's concern. I mean, you look at these big Class A's and they're 13 feet high and 40 feet long, or ours are 43 feet long. But I honestly can tell you, I sleep on the couch. You know, I drove a couple hours and I handed the wheel off to Tia and she drove a couple hours. And I actually can lay on the couch and go to sleep, because with that comfort steer, I know she can handle any situation that comes up. And we had a situation on the way down to Tampa. When Tia was driving on that two-lane highway on 75, where a truck in front of us jackknifed. And luckily, he gained control as he went to the median, but there was cars on the left, cars on the right, and we had nowhere to go. And we're towing, and she was able to handle that with a breeze. I mean, the coach handled masterfully. And I think when you go up to this level, you get that workmanship, that quality, and that's why we believe in Newmar.
And it's hard to put a price point. I mean, it's hard to, like, you know, put a value on that comfort steer if it's bringing you all of that security. I mean, it's really hard to put a dollar amount on what
Newmar
that's worth.
Newmar puts a dollar amount on it. Well,
Newmar does.
They manage.
They certainly do, because they don't put it in every model they make. You've got to step up to a certain level to get it. But also what we learned at the rally, you know, we spent 4 or 5 days with people who've had Newmars for 5 or 10 years. We met a lady who has 190,000 miles on her 10-year-old Newmar. And it's amazing the customer loyalty they show to this brand. And I'm sure that's equal if you went to a Tiffin rally or an Integra rally. People, when they get in their coaches, they spend this kind of money, they really love their coach. And I think the manufacturers behind these coaches, particularly at these price points, really work overtime to ensure that their customers are really happy with their product.
Right.
And we'll have the floor plans for all of these models in the show notes at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, so you can go and you can look at the picture of the floor plan while you're listening to us talk about this.
And if one of our listeners wants to, you know, jump up into one of these Class A's, where can they find you guys on social media to maybe ask you some follow-up questions?
We are so easy to find. SoulfulRVFamily.com is our blog, and we're SoulfulRVFamily on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest. Now.
All right. Thank you guys so much. That was really informative, really interesting. I think that's going to help a lot of our listeners who are thinking Class A.
Thanks, Keith and Tia.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk soon.
It was fun. Thanks.
And let us know what Class A you guys might want to step into.
It's got to be the comfort steer.
Yeah, sure. We'll get in touch when we sell our house. All right.
Thank you so much to Keith and Tia Sims from SoulfulRVFamily.com for those great Class A luxury picks. Thank you to our sponsor, RV Trader. Check out the blog post that accompanies this podcast to take a look at all the floor plans from this show. And we're also going to link to some videos about some of these RVs where we have videos to link to. We also recently did a great blog post about our top 10 picks from the Florida RV Super Show. It's bouncing all over the internet. It's gone like RV blog content viral, which is different than, you
know. Well, it has a lot of just weird picks in there, which is the wonderful thing about the Florida RV Super Show is you can see everything. And we did.
Yeah. So please join the forum. Leave us an iTunes review. Come to our rally. Hug your spouse. All right. And then
in that order,
in that order and join us next week. We have some big news next week. We're going to be debuting the latest podcast in the RVTA podcast network, RVFTA podcast network, Men in Their Rigs was such a hit. We've decided to launch a new podcast. It's called The Cranky RVer. And the first topic we're going to cover on The Cranky RVer: should kids be allowed at campgrounds? What do you think?
Get them out of here. They're making so much noise. They're running through my campsite.
They ran through my site. Eating marshmallows.
Get them out. Waking go up. Camp in the boonies.
Go kick that ball in your backyard, kid. All right, thank you so much.